Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
It is wonderful to be with you here this morning to worship together and to share some smiles and Christmas cheer. If you didn't already notice, there's going to be some extra treats out in the community room after church, so make sure you get out there and get a fresh-made sticky bun. Yeah. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon that calls this church my church home. It is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God, and we do that in lots of different ways. And one of the things that we ask you to do is to fill out that connection card that came in your bulletin. First of all, to let us know you were here so we can keep you in our thoughts and prayers. But also, on there are ways to get involved in things. You can mark off things you're interested in, and someone will get a call. You'll get a call from someone welcoming you to that ministry opportunity. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. They're bright yellow. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please feel free to grab one of those. Those go to our prayer group and to the clergy, and so your prayers will be looked at and responded to. Today in worship, we're being assisted by Bob Hemphill and Sue Urban. As you can see, we have the choir with us this morning. And I just want to make one special little announcement. We have a celebration of a birthday today. I know she's looking right at me. Carol Glenn is 91 years old today. Thanks for being here, Carol, and letting us celebrate with you. We have some other announcements this morning. The first is a shameless self-promotion. My husband Larry and I will be leading a disciple Bible study class starting in January, and it is based on the Old Testament. It is an intense 12-week course. There's quite a bit of Bible reading. You will read through quite a number of the Old Testament books. And so if you are interested and have any questions, you can contact Larry or I. Otherwise, I believe it's on the sign-up card in the connection card that we have. That will be starting January 15th, so we'll get a little chance to catch our breath after the Christmas holiday. Today is the Young People's Worship Arts presentation straight out of Bethlehem. It is at 5 o'clock. I don't know, is there still room at dinner, Susan? Iffy. Okay, if you haven't contacted us about dinner, please do so. Food is being prepared. There will be lots of fun with the kids at the two worship services, at the performance. Our Christmas Eve services are coming up. I know it's getting close, people. Here's the rundown. 11 o'clock, there'll be a Brighton worship here at the Brighton campus, specifically designed for young children and families. At 2 p.m., we'll be at Whitmore Lake. At 5 p.m., we'll be back here at the Brighton campus with our band-led worship service. And then at 7 and 9, we'll be here at Brighton campus as well. Candles and carols and communion at all of the services. So please find a time to join us. It is a blessed and beautiful time to be together as a church family. On Thursday, December 19th at noon is the United Methodist Women of Faith Christmas Party. Everyone is invited to attend. They always have some great food and fellowship. So please consider being a part of that on Thursday, December 19th at 12 p.m. Those are all the announcements I have this morning, so I'd ask you to please rise and join in singing our first hymn, Joy to the World, number 246.
Good morning. Today we light the candle of joy, celebrating the good news of great joy that came to all people in the birth of Christ. Lord, this joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but rooted in your unchanging goodness. It is a joy that sings through sorrow, dances through trials, and proclaims your glory in every season. As this candle glows, let it remind us to rejoice always, for you are near. Fill our hearts with the kind of joy that transforms our worship, our work, and our witness. May your joy overflow in us and spill into the lives of those we encounter. Lord Jesus, joy of the world, come and fill us with your presence. Let us pray. God of wisdom, we marvel at the Magi's courage to follow the star and seek the newborn king. We gather in worship. May we also step out in faith, searching for your light in unexpected places. Fill us with the same spirit, that wonder and generosity that leads us to bow in adoration. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
It was the anticipation of the Messiah that gave the children of Israel hope and joy during their captivity. Their Messiah was coming to set them free.
To the nation and full restoration of the promises to Abraham. For so Was that like the DSO, or is that just me thinking that? Wow, that was terrific. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Lindsay. I'm one of the pastors that serves the congregation. It is so great to be with you in worship this morning. And thank you, Bob, for sharing with us the gospel lesson. As Deacon Loretta mentioned, Christmas Eve is just around the corner, so I hope you are making plans with your family and your friends and your neighbors to be in worship. I hope that you will take one of these Christmas Eve cards and share it as an invitation, so that way we can gather back here on Christmas Eve and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be a celebration of love and joy and peace and hope, a celebration of the coming of Christ, a celebration of waving our candles and our glow sticks, and I hope that you'll make plans to be here. Well, we are jumping forward just a little bit. The gospel lesson that we heard was the story of the Magi, and we normally hear that on Epiphany. We normally hear that after we've celebrated Christmas Eve. But in our book, this that we've been using as an Advent study, a book by Rachel Billups, a United Methodist elder, we've been reading An Unlikely Advent. And in it, we have been looking at some very unlikely characters that maybe there's something good for us to learn from them about. So we're looking at the Magi this morning. I'd invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer as we get started together. Oh, loving and gracious God, as we light the candles on the Advent wreath, we cling to the promises that they bring us. We cling to the promise that Jesus brings us love and joy and peace and hope. We celebrate that. You, God, who are our rock and our salvation, you who are our light. Oh, Lord, as we gather in the space of worship, I pray that you may clear our hearts and minds from those things that might distract us. And center us, and still us, and bring us into this space to think upon the scripture, to wrestle with it, and to see what might it speak to our lives this day. O loving Lord, may you speak to me and through me. And all God's children said, amen. So this past Tuesday, as I came into the church building, this past Tuesday, the parking lot was filled. It was packed with cars. It wasn't your typical Tuesday. It was a magical Tuesday night. It was a Tuesday evening in December where parents and grandparents, they come with their 3 and their 4-year-old kids in tow, and they're ready, those 3 and 4-year-olds are ready to sparkle and shine, or maybe shed some tears because of nervousness, because it was the Tuesday in December where our preschoolers celebrate their music Christmas program, and oh boy, did they celebrate. And entering into these doors of the sanctuary, families eagerly took that bulletin and they made their seat in the pew. Of course, they jockey for the upfront positions. You all want the good pictures, right? They took out their cell phones, ready and waiting to take a picture or 10 of their child. And it was a fun night. It was a great night, a joyfully chaotic night, as the 3-year-olds stood up front in their cute little outfits, jingling their bells. Our music teachers, our preschool teachers, are talented to get the 3-year-olds in coordinated step, and they did it well. I see one of our preschool teachers back there in the corner. Job well done, Hillary. Job well done. And the 4-year-olds then, they were on, and they got to tell us the story of Jesus. They tell the nativity story. And this year, while I watched our four-year-olds come, or those four-year-olds tell this story, this old familiar story, I found myself really locking into the Magi. I knew it was coming up on Sunday. And I was watching those Magi and looking to this part of the story. And the time came, and there was these three adorable boys. They came forward with their crowns on their head like kings, and they were carrying their gifts ready to present them to baby Jesus. You know, it's one of those moments when parents are ready to proudly take out their cell phone, right, and take those 10 pictures or capture it on video and send it to a loved one. It's one of those moments as the kings come forward when they're watching in anticipation. Are those kings going to make it safely to the stable? Are they going to follow the star? Will they share those gifts with baby Jesus? You never know what a four-year-old might do. They might prefer just to keep it. But those preschool boys, they made it, they followed the star, they delivered their gifts, and yet another year of telling the nativity story was then in the books, and the audience clapped, and the children smiled, and the preschool teachers breathed a breath of sigh of relief, and God's story lived on to the next generation to embrace. Jesus was born that night. He is born, but he was born again that night, and everything went according to plan. You know, there's so very much for us to unpack as we look at this very familiar nativity story. For some it's familiar, for some it's new, so I shouldn't probably say a familiar story. As we unpack this nativity story, there is so much for us to look at. The preschoolers tell it well, and Matthew's gospel also tells us a bit of the story. Luke and Matthew, they tell us the story of Jesus' birth. Well, Matthew's account of the story introduces the characters of the Magi. The Magi. Maybe you've missed a sermon or two on this, or maybe you can spout out and tell me and help educate me a little bit on the Magi, but we hear these biblical characters, and do we ever forget about them? Man, it was so fun to go back and study a little bit more on the Magi this week. I'd encourage you to grab an Advent book, read a little bit more in depth about it. But these Magi, they were curious people. They must have been curious people because they were following this bright star, this light that got their attention, and it kind of spoke to them. It kind of called to them to follow. And among all of the traveling adventures and the curiosity that they had going on, they decided to stop and they made a connection with King Herod. They stopped and they conversed with him. And being a king, of course, we're going to think that, oh, King Herod is this great guy. He's this great guy, exactly, right? He's going to be a wonderful king. The Magi stop and they meet the most wonderful king. There he is. But that's not exactly who Herod was. You might remember that actually Herod was a kind of pretty nasty guy. He had an awful reputation. King Herod was a type of a king that was so power hungry and jealous and spiteful that he, when he conversed with those Magi, he had a few ace cards up his sleeve. He was trying to trick them. He was trying to trick the Magi into reporting back where Jesus would be so that he might go and visit Jesus himself. Here's the deal. Not go and visit Jesus with the intention of like bringing a welcome basket of gifts and welcome to the world, baby Jesus. Not an intention to celebrate his birth. No, this King Herod, he wanted to find Jesus' location so that he might find the child and put it into his life. Great king, right? No, it's pretty awful. He was willing to put an end not only to Jesus' life, but he was willing to put an end to all two-year-old boys, age two and younger, in hopes that if he didn't quite find the right boy, maybe he could have just kind of like caught him somewhere amongst the myths, amongst all of them. Talk about awful. Willing to commit genocide of this young generation, not to mention at least intentional murder of Jesus. But that's the King Herod that we're talking about when we read in this story. So King Herod, He wanted the Magi to return back to him and after the visit, right? He wanted to report back. Herod wanted to know his location. But thankfully, after those Magi visited Jesus, they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they bypass them altogether. They avoid him altogether, and they go home some different route. And Herod, hopefully, they avoid Herod, and they faithfully follow that star, that light, to be their guidance, to be their way. And as their source of guiding light and navigation, they look to that star, and it leads them to baby Jesus, and they find him. But did you know that actually it probably wasn't a baby Jesus that they met? If you read in the Gospels, probably it was more like a toddler Jesus that they were visiting. Did you know that? But quite often, we like to kind of smush together the story into one compact version. You know, the version where Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem for the census. They can't find the place, and there's no room at the inn, and so they go to a stable, and they're among barnyard animals, and then the angels visit the shepherds, and they report this good news, and the shepherds come running, and we visit baby Jesus. And then at that point in the story, in our preschool productions, right, then enter the Magi, those three that come to visit baby Jesus with the star guiding their light, and it makes for a really great, you know, short abbreviated preschool program, but that's not exactly accurate. Most likely, a couple years have taken place between Mary giving birth and those Magi visiting. It's not exactly a newborn babe that they're visiting. It's more like a toddler Jesus. Don't you wonder what toddler Jesus was like? Well, did he go through the terrible twos? Or was he like this perfect Christ child, right? Oh, man, I just wonder. So who were these Magi? Were they kings like we typically portray in our childhood productions? Were they three kings that we sing about in our hymnal? We three kings? We three kings of Orient are, da-da-da, right? Well, perhaps they were kings, but they could have been a little bit more than that. And this is where I love to turn to scholars and theologians and people that know so much more than I do. And this is what I read from Elizabeth Johnson this week. She's a theologian. This is what she says. The Gospel of Matthew never says that they were kings and never tells us how many there were. The Magi were most likely astrologers, perhaps even Zoroastrian priests from Persia. They were certainly Gentiles, and they came from outside of Israel. And they do not know the scriptures, but they do know how to read the stars. And God reaches out to them and leads them through what they already know. And in the ancient world, stars and other signs in the heavens were thought to signal important events. And in this case, the bright star rising leads them to discern that a royal birth has occurred in Judea. And so they bring gifts fit for royalty of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Elizabeth Johnson, the theologian, she helps us understand that, you know, perhaps there was more than just the king, the image that we place to them. Astrologers, stargazers, Zoroastrian priests from Persia, perhaps they were from a different faith tradition in a different land. They could have been a number of things, but really captivates me as we think about the Magi is less about maybe their like job resume of who they were, but I'm more captivated about their actions, their response to seeing that star, that light. A response to seeing the light and following it. The first kind of take home I want us to think about this morning, the first point I really want us to dial into is that star, that light. It helped guide the Magi's way. So rather than turning from the light or ignoring the light, they followed it. They paid attention to it. They got curious about that star up there. They got curious about that light. And even if they were afraid and they wondered what that light was all about or what their journey would have and for them down the road, they followed it. They let the light be their guiding way. The Magi had the light to guide their way. And guess what, church? we have that light that guides us to God is our light. God wants to be our light. Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, when we're in need of guidance and direction in our life, what guides you? Do you trust God kind of as that GPS, that guiding light in your life? Do you allow God to guide you? Do you put your trust or your hope or your guidance in other things maybe that are just going to disappoint you time and time again? Or do you allow God to guide you? Maybe we need to, in the season of lights all around us, maybe we need to take those moments to evaluate and think, what is really guiding us? Is it God? Is it something less trustworthy? God wants to be our guiding light. So here's a little story. So a high school senior, I'm looking around the room, I see some college age kids in the room, and if you've, you know, have college plans on the horizon, or if you've gone to college yourself, or your kids, grandkids have recently gone through the college process, you know there's some bumps and ups and downs, and sometimes, you know, trusting God to be our guiding light through all that can be challenging. So here's a little story for us to think about, trusting God to be our guiding light, even through those ups and bumps and downs. So a high school senior was busy completing their college entrance applications. Summer before, they'd visited several schools. They'd ranked them in their preferred order. They'd almost purchased a sweatshirt at the college campus, like, bookstore, right? Their top choice. They were so in. And they were ready to take the plunge into college life if only they could finish that college application process and get that acceptance letter. So then push and send on their application and XA, the college student anxiously waited to hear back from the school, and weeks go by, and finally one afternoon the mailman delivered the letter from their school of choice, and in this moment of great excitement they rip it open only to be devastated, to read the words on the page that they'd hoped for weeks to be accepted into that school of their choice, but the letter that they grasped in their hands, it said something else. Man. And so with disappointment and loss and anger, this high school senior decided to apply to another college then in town. They'd wanted to go out of state, but time was ticking away, and they looked around at what college offerings were in state, in town, and they decided to apply to the local school right in town. They applied, they pushed send, and within a couple of weeks they heard back, and guess what? They got accepted. They received some great scholarships even. They were warmly welcomed into the school. But you know, still there was that disappointment in their heart because their school, their dreams didn't work out as they'd wanted. But then as the semester came to a close and graduation day came and cap and gown was worn and all those great celebrations rang out and you like tossed the hat up in the air, that graduation senior was gonna be off to college in the fall, and even if it was just down the street from home, they were kind of settling into this idea. Well, only a few days after cutting the graduation cake, apparently a parent, the senior's parent goes in for a doctor checkup and things aren't quite right. And to her dismay, a cancer diagnosis took place. It took away their breath. It was completely disorienting. And so throughout that summer, that parent went through cancer treatments, and then into the fall, as that child packed and got ready for college, the cancer treatments continued, but thankfully, by Thanksgiving into Christmas season, they're cancer-free, and the family praised God. What started as a heartache for the senior of not getting into the college of their choice turned out to be some type of blessing in disguise. Had they gone out of state, they wouldn't have been there for their parent. They wouldn't have been there in their time of need. They wouldn't have been there for the family that they needed. To be able to stop by and say hello right in town now was a possibility. And as the senior looked back, they were able to try to keep trusting God even in the midst of disappointments and confusion. They kept trying to follow God's leading, to follow the light. That's a story of a young person, but there's so many other stories of trying to trust God and follow the light even when things don't make sense. The Magi followed the light, even it was a long, complicated, hard journey. They kept leaning in and following the light. Are you too following the light? The Lord is our light and our salvation. Are you completely allowing God to be your guide? Is there something that you need to turn over your control over to God, to trust God with? Is there some anxiety or pain or grief that you can lay quietly before God now to trust God more fully, to help you follow the light? If you're struggling to trust God with something, maybe you can pray a prayer something like this. God, we know there's stuff that we carry that's hard. And I try to trust. Help me right now in this moment to trust you more fully. There's a second thought that I have about this scripture. A second thought. There's so much in this text, but a second thought that's come to me this week is the Magi sought after Jesus, right? Not just followed the light, but the Magi sought after Jesus. Are you really seeking after Jesus? The Magi went on this long, probably uncomfortable journey in search of Jesus. They encountered obstacles, hardships along the way, I could only imagine, and yet they kept seeking after Jesus. They didn't give up. They stayed focused on their mission. Even when they encountered Herod, they kept going. The scripture makes me wonder, are we really seeking after Jesus? There's another great story in the Gospel of Luke. It comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and it tells of this story of two sisters. One's named Mary, and one is named Martha, and the sister Martha was this busy woman. She was this hostess of the mostest. She took time to make sure everything was perfect as company wasn't coming into town. Are there any people out here in the congregation this morning that are making sure things are perfect as company is coming into town for the holidays? Well, one day, it's not Christmas, right? But right for Mary and Martha, one day Jesus comes to visit Martha, and Martha gets kind of annoyed with her sister. Because rather than stepping up to help out, to host, to take care of all the preparations, to get the house ready, to make sure that the roast and the potatoes and the carrots are perfectly in the oven, or the honey-baked ham, or whatnot it is, rather than stepping up to help, Martha's left to do all the work, and Mary's twiddling her thumbs. Anybody feel like that this time of year? Somebody stepping up and all the work is dumped on another person? Well, I think there was some frustration and about ready to lose her cool, and Martha decides to complain to Jesus. It's this kind of tattletale moment between the siblings, and Jesus gets caught in the middle. And so rather than affirming Martha for focusing on the hosting and the housework and the spinning in circles, Jesus reminds Martha the importance of slowing down, of being still, of letting go of a few things, of taking time for spiritual renewal, all of which her sister was actually doing. Ouch. That sibling conflict certainly was uncomfortable, and it's common. But Jesus was trying to help Martha remember what's important. It's not important just to make sure the stuff is purchased and the responsibilities are taken care of and the dinner is perfect and the tree is decorated and the presents are wrapped and all of the things are attended to. But it's important to take time for that spiritual renewal as well. And Martha needed to be reminded to seek after Jesus. Those Magi were focused on seeking after Jesus. And Martha needed that friendly reminder to seek after Jesus. Are you focused on seeking after Jesus? Are you making him a priority in your life? Are you making him a priority even in the busy season? What might you need to let go of today in order to make your relationship with Jesus just a little bit more of a priority? There's this beautiful scripture from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It's a comforting scripture. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Not a chore list, rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, in a busy season, that feels like good news. The Magi sought after Jesus. How are we doing in seeking after Jesus? Last thought for us this morning. The Magi gave Jesus their best gifts. Their best gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi gave their best gifts to Jesus. Are you giving Jesus your best? Or sometimes does it feel like some leftovers? Leftovers of our time or our energy or our focus? It's hard. The gospel writers share the story all in slight different variations. But there's this woman in the scripture, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's reported in all of them. But there's this woman in the gospel stories that has this very expensive oil-like substance, this very expensive perfume kind of substance. And she shares this very expensive ointment, oil, perfume with Jesus. She wants to give him the best that she has. And a couple of our gospel writers say, oh, she lavishly poured it on his head. It was a sign of like anointing him before he dies, and it's a symbol of anointment of the body. Other people say, no, he was anointing of the feet. Okay, head or feet, wherever the ointment went. The point is that she wanted to give her best to Jesus, just like those Magi. Are you giving your best? Okay, I'm getting too serious. All right, so here we go. So many people wonder about those Magi gifts. You know, what's up with like gold, frankincense, and myrrh? We have to acknowledge that. It's a baby or a toddler, Jesus. Well, they weren't very practical. Do you ever wonder about that? So I often wonder if there had been three wise women, perhaps it would have gone something like this. We have a comic, if it's possible to pull that up. Can you see it? Mary is knelt beside the manger with Jesus. And while the three wise women arrive, they bring gifts of diapers and casseroles and formula. I don't know, maybe after the wise men left and dropped their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these wiser women showed up. I don't know. It's a fun joke. It's fun to, there's all sorts of stuff out there. You can get kitchen towels and these silly jokes and all sorts of things. But the point is, are you giving your best? Are you giving your best? There's a lot to unpack, and I hope that your homework assignment this week will be to take your bulletin home with you and look up this scripture. Read it in whatever translation you want. Crack open your Bible, grab a Bible app, open up this scripture, and see how it speaks to you. As you're reading through it, maybe you'll think of those preschool productions that you've maybe seen along the way, and you'll remember the Magi that came walking in with those great gifts. And my challenge for us to think is, the Magi followed the light. Are you allowing God to be your light? The Magi sought after Jesus. Are you seeking him too? The Magi gave their best gifts to Jesus, even impractical if they were. Are you giving your best gifts to Jesus? Amen.
Good morning. So I have a confession to make. First of all, my whole theme that ran through my mind all week long was to slow down. My confession is that it's difficult for me, and I'm a big list maker. Anybody else out there like that? I'm pretty sure Martha made lists too, because that's the only way you can get through things when you are driven. By the way, my family also makes lists. My husband Don makes lists. I don't think it's that uncommon personally, but So top of my list, maybe yours too, is Christmas shopping for food and also for gifts. And I have tried a new experiment this last few weeks during Advent, and I've shared it with the women in my Advent study group. I've told everybody to just try doing a little bit at a time. It'll feel different at first, but honestly, it has worked for me. Don't read the whole chapter in one sitting at the last minute. Read 5 pages a day. Don't expect to get your whole house cleaned in one day. Just pace yourself, and it has helped me a lot. So I was reading a quote from something from Soundbites Ministry about a woman who at one time had been overheard on a city bus in England muttering, "Oh Lord, they bring religion into everything," as she pointed to a creche in front of a church. "Look, they're dragging it even into Christmas now." And kind of, that's what we're doing, isn't it, in a way? So my testimony is I am trying to slow down. It does seem to be working. It's hard if you're a busy, active person, because when Christmas comes, if you do all the fun Christmas things, you're displacing something else, and then you race back and try to catch up. But I'm going to keep at it, so stay tuned. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the beauty of the season and for your Son, Jesus, sent to save us and to be our light of the world. Lord, please help us to slow down and make space for quiet reflection and prayer so that we may deepen our relationship with you. We also come to you asking for your healing touch, God, for ourselves and for those we hold dear. There are burdens we carry that sometimes feel too heavy. Sometimes it hits us in this kind of a season. We lift up those to you who are suffering, whether from illness or from grief. Today we especially lift up to you Paula Katowski, who will receive a prayer from our ministry. We hope that you will give her and her loved ones comfort and peace. And lastly, Father, we pray for a peace that would prevail in every corner of the earth. Grant our leaders wisdom and strength to make decisions that promote peace and reject violence. May they serve with a spirit of joy, love, and justice. May the simplicity of a lighted candle keep reminding us each day of the power of your love. In your holy name we pray. And now, please join me in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd invite the ushers to come forward this morning. As a reminder, if you are a guest here this morning, please know that your presence with us is gift enough for us this day. We hope that something in the service touches your heart and you would return and worship with us again. If you are a regular contributor to this congregation, know that we are grateful for all that you have done and will continue to do to continue the ministries and missions of this church. In this spirit of giving, let us offer to God our best gifts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the rich, diverse world you have given us to live in. Through our offerings, help us to create a place everyone feels welcome. Help us to recognize opportunities to invite those around us to share in our celebrations of Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.
Dear church, may the love of God be with you, the peace of Jesus fill your hearts and minds, and may the power of the Holy Spirit help you, help us all, to follow the light, to seek Jesus, and to give our very best. Go in God's peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.